aging or engaging. And I'm gonna break that down, what I mean by that. But I want to speak to a passage of Scripture first, because Scripture is important. But Scripture often speaks about this thing of maturing, of growing up, of moving into more of what the Lord has for you, not just staying where you are all the time, at the first base where you got saved. Okay, I'm saved. No, we mature, we grow up all the time. So Colossians 1:24-9 says this. Now, I rejoice in my suffering for you. This is the Apostle Paul. For your sake. And in my flesh, I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body. That is the church. Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known by the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of his mystery, which is Christ Jesus in you, the hope of glory. And this is the part I want to emphasize. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For, I love this word. Paul says, for this I toil. To make you mature in Christ. The apostles, he toils to make them mature, struggling with all of his energy that he powerfully works within me. Paul is so passionate about growing up believers to be mature believers. Well, think of Ephesians 4. It says this. And he himself gave us some to be apostles. We know there's some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the equipping of the saints and for the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Bearing in mind that these winds of doctrine, trickery of men, and cunning craftiness are things that are happening within the church, not outside of it. Hebrews 6:1, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. It's a strong words from Paul and the author of Hebrews, which some would say Paul, but we don't know. We don't know. And so Scripture is consistently telling us to grow up, mature, eat solid food, and leave behind childish ways. And so, because I like points and I like alliteration, I've got 4 points that I want to speak to you around this thing of maturing in spiritual maturity. Age, agents, that's quite a mysterious one. What does he mean by that? Agents. Advantages and applications. And so, age, let's start with that one. This should be obvious, so I'll start with the most obvious one. Age and maturity are not the same thing. Do we know that? Okay. Age is a measure of how a person has lived, how long a person has lived. While maturity refers to a person's level of emotional, intellectual, and I would say spiritual development. So the one is just, you're going to get old. Right, it's just a natural part of life. You are going to get old. I hate to break it to you, but you will get old. And the thing is that often what happens, there is a distinction, obviously, between the two. But obviously, I meet older believers who assume that they are mature. Often I meet older believers who assume that they are mature. But often all they're saying is, I've been in the church for a long time and I've figured out how it works. That is not maturity. That is you getting old in the church. Doesn't mean you are mature. You've just sat in the pew and got old. See, the difference is we will age regardless of what we do. Our bodies are designed to age, and without us doing anything, we actually don't need to help it. It's going to do its work anyway. And in fact, we try everything we can to stop that process. But maturing is different. And that we don't naturally mature over time. It takes effort and work. You don't just become mature. You don't wake up at 65 and go, I'm 65, now I am mature. You might have a measure of maturity, but you can always grow more in your maturity. I hope that I can grow more mature until the day that I'm with Christ, until one day when I'm perfect. But I'm not, I have a measure of maturity, I hope. And the Greek word which is used in that passage in Colossians is teleos, and it means this: mature from going through the necessary stages to reach the end goal. Developed into a consummating completion by fulfilling the necessary process. The necessary process. We become mature by fulfilling the necessary process. It is not your age, it is how much you engage that will determine how spiritually mature you are and how spiritually mature you will become. It is not your age. I'm 48. I could have the maturity of a 12-year-old. In fact, I've known 48-year-olds. You do have the maturity of a 12-year-old. Maturity has nothing to do with age, but has everything to do with our willingness to engage and to grow. And to engage in what? Not just to engage in life and everything around, but to engage in the Word. To engage in prayer, to engage in our relationship with Christ, engage in community in the church, working in faith, in love, and good works. Engage in the things of the kingdom will grow you in spiritual maturity. I know it seems obvious. This is the first point. It's very obvious. For the younger people in the congregation, spend more time reading scripture than you do watching reels. Spend more time reading scripture than you do watching reels. I was reading scripture this morning, and I'm currently working through Isaiah, which I don't know if you've read it recently. It's not an easy book to read. Some days I'm just going like, what? Who are these people? And what is the Lord saying to them? It feels like I'm so disconnected. I'm like, God, why am I reading this book? I know I'm supposed to, but I'm reading it. Why? What are you saying? And the first thing I heard him say was this. The book of Isaiah, he sent a prophet to a people who would not listen. Why? So they were without excuse. Second thing, you read the book of Isaiah, you learn the character of God. You learn the character of God. I was reading this passage today, and I stopped in my tracks. I just couldn't comprehend it. It says, the fear of the Lord is the treasure of Zion. I was like, what? What is that? I couldn't read anymore. I was like, okay. I just felt that spirit in that moment. I was like, the fear of the Lord is the treasure of Zion. I mean, how beautiful is that? How beautiful. Like, having a reverential fear for him is actually a treasure. Because earlier on, it talks about the leaders who have learned to be fearful of God. I don't want to learn how to fear God. I want to know. I want that to be a treasure, not a learned thing. Anyway, so the point of that is read more scripture. If you stopped engaging, you stop growing in maturity in Christ. So the second point I want to talk about is agents, what I mean by this word agents. So who bakes here? I know Lara bakes. Lara is a very talented baker. Okay, so apart from Lara, who are the hobbyists that make sourdough? Andrew, you're still making sourdough, is it? Ah, okay, cool. My starter's almost dead. It's quite a sad thing to see. Anyone else? Okay, awesome, Anik. So, if you have been into baking, I didn't know this, I learned this week. There is a thing called a maturing agent. You know what that, you heard that, Laura, obviously. Okay, well, I'm ahead, okay, sure. Maturing agent. So, what is a maturing agent? So, in the process of baking, you put flour and your dough to mature to the point where it has strength, and then when you bake it, it bakes well and it rises well, okay. But that takes time. Okay, strengthening your dough, strengthening your starter takes time. And so what they do is they add things to the flour to make that thing strengthen quicker, okay? And I'm sure they do it in an industrial setting. They put it in, it grows quicker, it gets stronger quicker in a shorter amount of time. And I think in the church we have similar things. We don't mature in isolation, but we need maturing agents in our lives to help strengthen us in a shorter time to prepare us for works of ministry. Does that make sense? We need people in our lives to help mature us quicker so that we can be equipped for works of ministry. Otherwise, we'll have a whole church full of immature believers who can't disciple anyone. So an immature believer is discipling an immature believer is discipling an immature believer, and all you've got is a church of babies. And if you are a baby, that's great. And I mean that sincerely. If you've been newly saved, wonderful. You are a spiritual baby. You are growing in your spirituality. Wonderful. But make sure you're growing. Don't be a baby in 5 years' time, still. I hope that came across. I really do mean that sincerely. And so what are these agents? Well, I think we spoke about it earlier in Ephesians 4. I think one of these agents is the fivefold ministry that we hear about in Ephesians 4. The apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are there as maturing agents to grow us up in our spiritual maturity. If we will listen to what they are teaching, if we will humbly submit ourselves to those who have spent time learning and go, I don't know everything, you can teach me because you have matured to a point in this and you can teach me. Teach me because I want to be spiritually mature. Because that scripture says that the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers are there to equip the saints for works of ministry that they may grow up in all things. All of us. I'm still growing. I'm preaching to myself here. Please, I'm not preaching like I'm the mature guy in the room, you guys. Hey. No, I'm not at all. It's areas I need to mature in. I want to mature in. I'm desperate to mature in. Well, think of our passage in Colossians where Paul says, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. We. It's a community together. The Lord in his wisdom has placed people in our lives to help us grow and mature. Will we let them? The apostles, prophets, I've told you this. Each has a specific role to play in the body. But each serves as a maturing agent for the sheep. They edify and equip all of us so that we can mature and be effective in the kingdom. And so I've asked the question, will we submit ourselves? Will we allow ourselves to be matured and shaped? And we can look locally as well. If you look in this congregation, you can turn to the person next to you and go, you are a maturing agent. You can turn to the person next to you and go, There is a room full of maturing agents because we all are playing a role in each other's spiritual maturity. We don't do it in isolation. I'm very wary of people who claim to be spiritually mature but are not part of a body. Who are rogue agents going, I've figured it out, I've graduated, I'm too mature for the church. No, my friend. The church is the answer. My friend. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. When last did someone sharpen you in the life of the church? Is it? Joni's running out. In love, obviously. We're not talking about bashing each other over the head, but when last did someone sharpen you? And exactly, let yourself be sharpened. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. We are growing up into Christ, and at the same time, as we grow closer to Christ, we become more like Christ. How awesome is that? But we have to be growing up into him. I want to grow up more into Christ. We aren't just aging together, we are engaging and growing together. If you are sitting here and you go, I've just been aging in church for the last 5 years, my encouragement to you is engage. Engage. Don't just get old in the church. We'll celebrate your birthdays and we'll sing happy birthday and it'll be awesome. But don't just sit there getting old. Go to someone and go, how do I grow as a Christian? That's a good question. Well, I just engage in the Word. Engage in the Word of Christ. Engage in prayer. Engage in the community. Engage with the church. Yeah, that makes sense. Interact. Better word, interact. Yeah. Be intentional. Be present. Be intentional. Yeah. Be eager to grow. Get dirty in the church. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's cheap. Julian's got paint all over him, but he's like... Okay, so we've spoken about the age. You know, we don't just want to get old in the church, and we have these maturing agents that are in the church that help us to grow in our spiritual maturity, to take us along this journey. We need these people alongside. But what are the advantages of this? What are the advantages? Well, I'm going to go through some of these now. We spoke about that Greek word earlier, which means going through the necessary stages to reach the end goal, teleos. And in our passage, Paul talks about toiling and struggling with all his energy to present the believers mature. So why the urgency, and why the urgency now? And I think Ephesians 4 actually gives us a clue, and I want to speak very quickly about those things. It gives us clear warnings to immature believers because they can be prone to deception. It says that you may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried away by every wind of doctrine and by human cunning, by craftiness and in deceitful schemes. False doctrine, false teaching, human cunning and schemes in the church. Then as now, if you are spiritually immature, you are prone to fall prey to such things. That should be one incentive in itself, is to go, I want to grow up in the things of Christ so I don't fall prey to deception. Now you go, well, I've seen older people fall prey to things like this. Well, maybe, just maybe, they actually were just old and not mature. Maybe, I'm just guessing. But I've seen it. Guys going in, it's weird. They're like guys living their whole lives as believers, just in the church, just doing this thing, and then 80 years old, gone. Over some weird doctrine. Like, what are you doing, bro? I don't get it. We need to be aware of passages like 2 Peter 2. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. Will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has been hanging over them, and the destruction has not been sleeping. If we are mature, we can hopefully avoid these things. And secondly, we need mature disciples to replicate mature disciples. We need people who are maturing and are mature in the things of God in order to disciple and grow new disciples well. That was a big sigh, Julia. See, the process of maturing is not to impress others. We don't acquire knowledge and have all these things to go, well, look at me, I'm so mature. It's not to impress others. It's so that as mature believers, we can impress the truth onto others. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. 2 Timothy 2:2. The church needs you to mature so that you can replicate yourself. I need to get more mature in areas so that I can replicate people. Follow me as I follow Christ, Paul says. If Paul was like this wimpy little believer, where would the church be? No, he wasn't. Romans 1:16, I'm unashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God to salvation. Okay, I'm almost done. Sorry, I don't know how long, I forgot to set my timer. Application. The question you're asking is, how do you know if you're a mature believer? It must have crossed your mind at some point, right? You go like, how do I know? What is this guy talking about? How do I know if I'm a mature believer? Well, I hate to break it to you. You could probably go into Google and say, how do I know if I'm a mature believer? And it'll give you 5 steps that you could follow. But the problem is you'll make yourself believe that you are mature. We all do that. Click on this banner to see if your IQ is 180. Like, oh yeah, woo! Like, usually it's like 10 or whatever. I think, this is my personal opinion, you know if you're a mature believer if people see it displayed in you. If people are coming to you and going, what are your thoughts? Could you walk alongside me in this? I think there's a measure of maturity in you that people are recognizing. That's just one way. And so if you are a mature believer, if that is the case, who are you bringing into maturity? Who are you sharpening? Who are you coming alongside? And who are you toiling for? There's a question that I have to ask myself. Now, I've said earlier, there might be young believers here, people who are newly saved and who are spiritual babies, and my encouragement to you, and I saw this on a Paul Washer sermon, it was brilliant. My encouragement to you is run towards and work towards maturity as hard and as fast as you can. Run towards maturity. While you're a spiritual baby, just go, I'm going to drink milk as long as I can, but I'm going to get onto solids as quickly as I can. Those of you who've had kids, like some kids drink milk for like ever, like 2 years. Like, come on, bro, get onto solid food. Other kids are like 1 month. Give me the food. Like they're eating steak and it's like, what's going on? This child is crazy. I think for our kids, it was very different. Like Sophie was, anyway, I don't remember. Be the child who wants solids quickly. Get alongside people who can encourage you. Throw yourself into the Bible, into resources, into podcasts, into the church, into our network's endless resources. Who knows about Leap Light? There's a thing that happens every Thursday night at City Bowl Congregation. And it came because last year I sat down with Luke Hulley and I was like, bro, there's a problem. A lot of our youth leaders have no idea what the fundamental basics of theology are. They don't know doctrine. They need to know doctrine. How do we do it? Okay, let's do Thursday nights. And so if you're here and you want to go, it's open to everyone. It's a free course. Mike Davies preached like this Thursday. Apparently it was incredible. He's like one of our top. When last did you sit under Mike Davies' teaching? Oh, it's been years for me. He's just ridiculous. Every Thursday night, 7 o'clock, City Bowl. I promise you, you'll grow. Gabe was raving. Gabe was like, hey, you feel like you grew in some way. Brad, you were there as well. Like, Yeah, baby Christians, guys. Yeah, it's awesome, man. It's awesome. Throw yourself into these resources. Okay. Okay, let me do a final thought. And I want to actually tell a quick story. And I hope it'll illustrate my point of what I want to say. And I hope my passion in preaching hasn't made you think that I'm shouting. I get very passionate about this stuff. I want people to, yeah, come on, guys. We can do this. We really can. Awesome. All right, so where's Rosie? Look, as a pastor's kid, you're going to get used to this as illustrations, right? It is what it is. Like, I've tried to not name them. It just doesn't work. Nothing works. Okay. So when Rosie was younger, about 9, she needed an email address for something. Oh, just because we've got family overseas, and okay, let's get an email address. Like, that'll be cool. Like, we'll monitor it. Like, it'll be a safe way for her to communicate with people. But the thing is, when you're 9, you or your parents decide to give you an email address that is reflective of where you are when you're 9 years old. And so Rosie had an email. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Because then you're gonna mail her and start spamming it. But think of it as something like that. It was a flowery thing like the pink princess Rosie at web.com. Okay, it's this really like cute little like rhyming, like, oh, it's so sweet, like, oh, it's perfect for you. It's so cool. And she loved it back when she was 9. She's like, this is amazing. See, the problem comes when we went to the bank recently. Because Rosie turned 18, and when you turn 18, the bank decides the parents have no control over the bank accounts anymore, which is perfectly fine. So they go, well, we're taking the bank account away from the parents, and now the child needs to come in and open the account in their name, give the details. Anyway, so we go to the bank. And as we're in the bank, so another side story, as we're in the bank, this woman, a homeless woman, comes in. And so already the situation is getting a little bit awkward because she's like crying, and I'm like, what the heck's going on, dude? And I don't know if you've noticed, but in culture these days, no one says anything. But I'm from a different generation where if something's happening, we say something. So this woman's making a big scene. I just said, sister, please no, please. Please be quiet. She's like, I was like, yes, okay. It's like, cool, it worked. Then she says, done. Then she starts kicking her shoes off. I was like, sister, just please put your shoes back on. And she's like, okay. So already it's awkward. Like, I'm the bad guy because no one else is saying a word. And Rosie's there like going, like, what the heck, bro? Like, why is this guy speaking? Like, why is he embarrassing me? Okay. But the real challenge came when the bank person said to Rosie, what is your email address? And I could see the dread come over her face because she had to tell him, well, sir, my email address is thepinkprincessrosie@whateverwhatever.com. And you could see she was like, no. And at that point, she was like, I'm changing my email address. And he laughed, yeah. But because she had maturing agents, parents and church leaders in her life who have helped her to mature into a young adult, the flowery email address no longer describes who she is. She has changed, and so her email address has to change. And I feel like for some of us, has your email address changed? Or is your email address still the same as when you were a baby Christian? Is it still the baby, awesome, wonderful, gaby baby 777? Because we need to be maturing. Gabe's not going to have gaby baby 777 forever. He's going to become an adult, he's going to be a mature believer, he's going to go, my email address is gabegoldswain@gmail.com. Like, my email address for many years was joystick503@hotmail.com. Okay, now let me explain that. Okay. Joystick was a band, I played in a punk band called Joystick, okay? So that's the, and then 503 was a flat that I lived in Tamworth Kloof, okay? So it had, and Hotmail was big back in the day, all right. But it got to the point where I couldn't email clients anymore. I was like, this is just so awkward. Like, hey, can I do some work for you? Like, yeah, here's my email address. I was like, okay, cool, bro. But my email address is now dylanhowjones@gmail.com. Because I've matured. I've grown up. I don't play in punk bands anymore. I feel like some here still have the same email address as the day they were saved. And you've been in church for years and you've not matured, and today you need to start growing up. And if that offends you, I'm sorry, but it's just the truth. I do wonder if there's anyone here who is just aging and not engaging. You're sitting here and you're getting old. And my prayer and my encouragement for you is get involved. Start growing again into spiritual maturity. Find yourself in the Word all the time. Find yourself with the Lord all the time. The only way you get more mature is spending more and more and more and more time with Him. I promise you. It's not Reels, it's not YouTube, it's not anything. That stuff is so temporary. Let me pray. Thank you, God, for this church, God. Thank you for the incredible people that are here. God, I pray that as a people, we would want to grow in maturity, Father God. We want, but not just maturity, Father God. We want to grow closer to you, Father God. We'd want to abide in you, Father God. We want to be found in you, Father God. We want to just spend time with our Father and just be at your feet, just worshiping you and talking with you and getting to know you. And as a result, almost, we just grow in our spiritual maturity. And so I do pray, Father God, for those who are here who just feel like I've just been going through the motions and I haven't been engaging or growing. God, I pray that today would be the day that they make a resolution to go, today is the day that I will stop just aging and I will start engaging in the things of God. I will start growing into a mature believer so that I can lead other people to Christ. I pray for all of us, Father God. I include myself in this prayer, Lord Jesus. Grow us up more and more and more into the things of God, Lord Jesus. Show us the profound mysteries that you hold, Father God. You are beyond what we can ever imagine, Father God. We love you, we love you, we love you. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. I also just want to ask, I'm not going to give a call for people to put their hand up or anything for this. I think it's a personal thing actually between you and God is to, hey, like, I can't make you do this, and I don't want to make people do this. I want people to grow in their relationship with God by themselves, obviously. But I do want to ask if there is anyone here who has come here and they're going, what is he talking about growing in spiritual maturity? I've heard about maturity. I don't even know what you mean by spiritual maturity, though. I know what it means to grow up or to get old. And the thing is this, that we believe in a God who has saved us. We believe in a God who came 2,000 years ago to die on a cross for our sins. And without him, we couldn't even talk about growing spiritually. In fact, we would be dead spiritually, completely dead. But through Christ, we've been made alive spiritually. And now we can grow.